This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
There's no other minister in the country that I can think of that's helped me more to understand the meaning of biblical words than a minister from Van Nuys, California, by the name of Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford is to the Bible what a jeweler is to a diamond. A good jeweler can look at a diamond or show you a diamond underneath light and show you different facets of the diamond, how it was cut, maybe a flaw in the diamond, or here's something that needs to be pointed out. And Jack Hayford does that for me with words out of the Bible. And I'll give you an example that has nothing to do with the message, but it's just an example of how Jack Hayford made me think in a new way. For years, I thought I understood the passage in Malachi 3 that asks a question: will a man rob God? And then the statement is, yes, you will rob God, tithes and offerings. And for years, I thought, well, it meant we rob God of cash flow. You know, we're cheating God financially. That's not what it's about. All these years, I thought that's what it meant. And Jack Hayford pointed out to me, we rob God of his majesty. We rob God of his glory. We rob God of honor, and that's what we rob the Lord of. I'm not robbing him of any cash flow. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not taking anything of his. He owns it all. But I am robbing him of honor and glory, and that just gave a new way of looking at it. You say, why are you mentioning that? For this reason. I'm going to redefine some words for you today. Two words, the word peace and the word hostility. And I would guess that everyone's going to leave here today and said, I never thought about the word peace like that. And I never thought about the word hostility, like the definitions I'm going to give you, based out of Ephesians 2, where we're reading today. Preaching through a New Testament book, the Apostle Paul's the writer, Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 12 today, exactly where we left off last week. Paul says this: remember, at that time, before you were a Christian, before you came to Christ, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, if you underline in your Bible, would you underline two words, but now? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new person out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. What I'd like to do this morning is bring up two thesis statements or summary statements up on the screen. Everything will flow out of these two statements of what we were before coming to Christ and after. If you take notes, I think you should write some of this down. Let's bring up the first one. Before coming to Christ, we were separated. We were excluded. We were strangers from God's covenant. What does that mean? God has a covenant arrangement or agreement with you and me that was set at the cross. And that's the covenant we have with the Lord. What Jesus accomplished on the cross. We were without hope and without God in this world. That was before coming to Christ. But now, let's bring up the second half. After coming to Christ, we're brought near to God. We have peace with him and access to the Father through the Son. Barriers taken down and citizens of the kingdom of God.
Well, you're two different people, the person you were before the cross and the person you are now after the cross. Our website is crosshope.org.
Before coming to Christ, we were separated. We were excluded. We were strangers from God's covenant. What does that mean? God has a covenant arrangement or agreement with you and me that was set at the cross. That was before coming to Christ. But now, let's bring up the second half. After coming to Christ, we're brought near to God. We have peace with him and access to the Father through the Son. barriers taken down, and citizens of the kingdom of God. I want to ask you this question. Where are you on this chart? Where are you? Every man, every woman can see himself or herself on this chart, on this diagram, these two summary statements. And you know what? Some of you are in transition. Some of you are between at that time and but now. And may I share this with you? I don't think I've ever said this before, but one of the most exciting things about being in the ministry is when you see a man or woman come to the but now. It's not the same. But now things are different in my life because of Christ. Most of you probably think that peace means the end of strife or the cessation of strife. And I think that's true. I think that's part of peace. But would you believe this, that peace also means the end of separation? To have peace with God means you're no longer in strife with Him, but you're no longer separated. And that's what the Bible says. We now have peace with God through Christ. Let me give you an example of that in real life. Some of you may have a relative, a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, a brother or sister, somebody in your family. And if I were to ask you, do you have peace with them? You say, oh yeah, we haven't fought in years. Do you talk to them? We haven't talked in years. And you get the implication, we have peace. There's a cessation of strife, but we don't have a cessation or end of separation. And so it is in our relationship with the Lord. We have an end to the enmity, to the conflict with the Lord at that time, but now we have peace with Him. There's the end of the separation. Hostility is another word that we think we understand. Most people think that hostility is anger. I want you to go home with this. Hostility is not anger. And not all anger is hostility. You can love people you're angry with. You can love the people you're angry with. Anybody ever been married in this room? You are angry at people you love. But here's the definition of hostility that's going to be new to some of you. Hostility means you treat the other person like the enemy. Hostility means that you treat the other person like the enemy. This may offend you, but it's true. There's some husbands in this room who look at their wife as the enemy. And there are wives in this room that look at their husband as the enemy. And there are parents who look at their children as the enemy, and children who look at mom and dad as the enemy. And that is hostility. And here's how it's described in Scripture. Paul talks about the walls of hostility. It's done one brick at a time. One 2x4 at a time. One load of plaster at a time. And some of you have become excellent bricklayers. Some of you know how to handle a hammer and building a wall. Some of you are good at putting on plastering walls. And I want to suggest to you that when you are in hostility with other people, you are a wall builder.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, I'm going to share probably the most requested story that I've ever told in 35 years on the radio. I've told it numerous times. It's the most requested. We share it tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
And I want to suggest to you that when you are in hostility with other people, you are a wall builder. And Jesus Christ came for the express purpose of destroying those walls. Let's look at verse 14 again. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new person or man out of the two. Who's the two? The Jew and the Gentile in particular. Thus making peace, verse 16, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. The Lord is interested in taking down walls of hostility in your life and in my life. And you know what? I'm not naive enough to believe that every wall in your life is going to come down, because maybe there are walls in your life that someone else has put up. And it's kind of tough to deal with those walls. But you know what I've noticed? Most walls have been put up by two people. Truth be known, You lay all the cards on the table. Most walls have been built by two people. And even if the other person built 90% of the wall, guess what? You still built 10% of the wall. I apologize for telling a story that I've told in probably in the last year or two, but I can't think of a better story than this story told by Rita Snowden to illustrate wall destruction. Rita Snowden was a writer about World War I, not World War II. She tells about a group of British soldiers who lost their sergeant in combat in France. And so they wanted to give him a Christian burial, so they took his body, wrapped it in canvas, according to Rita Snowden, went to a Catholic church near the battlefield, where they had a cemetery, a fenced-in cemetery next to the Catholic church. They went to the priest at the parish there and said, "We'd like to bury our friend, our comrade here." And the priest was very gracious and said, "I'd love to accommodate you. I just need to know one thing. Was this man, your friend whom you're burying, was he a baptized adherent to the Catholic faith?" And they said, they looked at one another with blank stares. "We don't know what he was. We don't know if he was Protestant, Catholic, what. We just want to bury our friend." And so the priest said very lovingly and very graciously, "I can't let you bury him according to our regulations in the cemetery. But what I will let you do, I will let you bury him just outside the fence in that far corner." And he pointed in a direction and said, "You can bury him just outside the fence." They thanked him. They took his body there. They buried him. They had a short service of memory and prayer. And they left. A week later, their unit was shipping out to another place in France. And so the four or five soldiers came back to pay their final respects again to their comrade, just to have a prayer over his grave. And those of you that heard this story know what happened. They couldn't find a grave. They walked the whole perimeter of the cemetery. There's no evidence of a fresh grave. If you've ever been to a cemetery where there's a fresh grave, you know it for weeks and months sometimes. It's obvious that a grave has just been dug there. The priest saw them, came out. And he said, "Gentlemen, I was so moved by your love for your companion and your respect and so convicted that I wouldn't let you bury him inside the fence. I went out the next day and I moved the fence. I moved the fence." That's what love in Jesus Christ does. And I'll take it a step further. Love not only moves fences, loves take fences down in the name of Christ.
Well, do you have a fence up with someone? You probably can picture that person right now. We'll continue this message tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. Well, if you listened to CrossHope yesterday, you heard me tell, or I should say retell, a story that I've used a number of times in 35 years on the radio. It's produced more response than any other single story, told by Rita Snowden about the British soldiers asking to bury their dead sergeant in a Catholic cemetery in France during World War I. We pick it up at the end of that story and continue.
Everybody in this room's got a fence or wall up with somebody, and you know who it is. And I'm asking you at least to pray about it, that in the name of Christ, you will do what you can to take the wall down. Will you be successful? Maybe not. You may have people reject your overtures, but at least you tried in the name of Christ. At least you made the effort. That's why the Bible says, as much as it's within your power, live at peace with everyone. And what does that mean? You do the best you can and leave the results to God. That's what that means. You do the best you can, but in the name of Christ, somebody needs to tear down a wall. Maxie Dunham was the president of Asbury College. I've talked about him before. Asbury College at Wilmore, Kentucky, just outside of Lexington, Kentucky, tells a powerful story about barriers coming down. I want to close with this story. It's a little lengthy, but stay with me. Listen to the details of the story. Maxie says this: "I was visiting with a friend, a minister in a huge Midwestern church. Entering his home, we walked through the garage. His son's go-kart was there, and I commented on it. This triggered him to share the story of his reconciliation with his own father. His mother and father, after 30 years of marriage, had divorced." Can you imagine? You're married for 30 years, and you finally say, "That's it. We call it quits." The father had been unfaithful to his mother, trampled on her feelings, spurned her forgiveness and love, returning over and over to his other women, even after renewing his commitment and pledging fidelity. This caused my friend great pain and anguish. Though he loved his father, he became bitter, even hateful, toward him. Unable to accept him and the suffering inflicted upon his mother, my minister friend and his father became estranged. The father, embarrassed by his own actions, eaten up with guilt and shame, was unable to face his son. About 4 years after all of this, the father came to a business meeting in the city where his son was a minister. And a series of circumstances made it okay for him to visit his son. They walked through the same garage as we were doing that day, my friend leading the way, his father walking behind him. The tension was extreme, and my friend was in the house before he realized that his father wasn't with him. He looked back into the garage, and he saw his dad staring at the go-kart with tears flowing down his face. You see, the memory of his son's childhood, of days when the bond of love was so solid, and the thought of his now grown son making go-karts for his own son as he had done for him overwhelmed him. Barriers were dropped, masks were taken off, emotions, including repentance, were expressed. Love and forgiveness began to flow as honest sharing brought father and son together again. Isn't that amazing? The Lord could use a silly go-kart as a catalyst to bring two people together. What could the Lord use in your life? As something to trigger repentance, something to trigger forgiveness, something to trigger sorrow, godly sorrow, something to trigger godly forgiveness in your life. You know what it's called? It's called the cross.
We'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Now then, today, the conclusion of a message we began on Monday from Ephesians 2 about two words, the word peace and the word hostility. My guess is, if you're like me, you thought of peace as being the end or cessation of strife. That's not how we define it this week. We define it as the end or cessation of separation from another person. Peace with God means the end of separation from God. Some people would define the word hostility as yelling, as anger, as conflict with another person. That's not how we define it biblically. Hostility means you treat the other person in your life like the enemy. Is there anybody in your life that you look at as the enemy? There probably is. Let's conclude this message from Ephesians 2:12 to the end of the chapter today on Cross Hope. God bless you.
What could the Lord use in your life? As something to trigger repentance, something to trigger forgiveness, something to trigger godly sorrow, something to trigger godly forgiveness in your life. You know what it's called? It's called the cross. It's called taking the communion emblems. If you take communion Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, someday you're going to be reminded that this is about my forgiveness and my need to forgive other people. It's going to sink in. It may be after 10 years. But it will come to you that everything in life from out of Christ is about tearing down walls. Not building walls, but tearing down walls. It's all about tearing down walls in the name of Christ. The cross is like that for you and for me. It's the sign that brings us back to our senses, back to the place of love where reconciliation can take place. We look at the cross and are reminded of what we've lost, to the relationship with Christ we have spurned. Feelings of repentance well up. We open ourselves to God and the gracious Father that He is. He restores us to fellowship with Him. Now, this may be the most controversial thing I'm going to say, but it's this. Don't expect the love and forgiveness to be showered down on you or me. All the time we're laying bricks in the wall that we're building with other people. You understand that? I can't say, Lord, shower your grace and your mercy on me. Shower your forgiveness. Just pour it on, Lord. I need it. All the while we're throwing the mud on the brick and bringing another brick and building the wall. God is in the business of taking down walls. The wall that exists between him and you and me. The wall between the Jew and the Gentile. The wall that are cultural barriers, racial barriers, all kinds of barriers that exist in our country, the United States of America. And the Lord is interested in personal barriers. My guess is most people aren't worried about cultural barriers. They got enough barriers in their family to worry about. Most people aren't worried about the barriers between the Jew and the Gentile, or the Arab and the Christian, or the Arab and the Jew. Most people have enough barriers in their own immediate family or extended family. And that's the truth. That's just real life. Hostility, treating the other person like the enemy. It's not just anger. It's treating the other person like the enemy. Peace means not just a cessation or end to strife. It means an end to the separation. And Christ brings people together. What, because of they're nice people? No, because of what he accomplished on the cross. Let him work in your life to reconcile you with him and with someone else. Let's pray together.
Well, my guess is there's someone that needs to hear this message besides you. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.